yeah, that's why we can't have albinos in the studio.
It's all right, but albinos are people too.
Yeah.
It's all good. And hello there. How's everyone doing on this lovely Friday? It's Friday today, isn't it?
It is.
Or whenever you're listening to it.
You are allowed to listen to it on days other than the Friday.
But today is Friday.
Limit your listening time to about 1/7, I'd say.
Yes, on a weekly sort of scale, yes.
Or just ever.
Ever, okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
So we've just been doing videos.
Yes, that's right. What videos did we do, Alex?
We did three.
Three? That's crazy.
The Keely and Mesmer.
Mesmer, yes.
That was pretty wacky.
Yes, it was mesmerizingly wacky.
Trippy. Yeah, it's cool. That's like the step sequencer delay thing.
Yes.
Which I thought was cool.
With 3D glasses.
And the ramping thing.
Yes.
Where it slowly ramps up the pitch of the delay tails. It wasn't me.
No, it was the man next door.
And
the one-armed man.
What else do we do? Oh, the freak out.
The freak out, that was pretty cool.
Did you take?
I like the freak out. That's I got that yesterday.
It's cool.
Came yesterday and went straight to demo. And then we did a King of Tone versus Gain of Tone shootout.
Yep.
The Anarchy Audio Gain of Tone versus the Analog Man King of Tone. John from Anarchy Audio contacted us and said, can you do the shootout? And we gladly did. So we kind of just kind of went back and forth between the two and to see how it is, because it's sort of based on on that.
Inspired by.
And we didn't actually, on the last podcast, because I got into my loop or not to loop rant, what did we do last time? We did the Behringer Ultra Shifter Harmonizer.
So at the time of speaking, that's just gone up to
we just put YouTube that up
a day or so ago. And everyone's kind of going, yeah, this is actually really cool. And
yeah, that's great. Thanks for watching.
So it has a good feedback on that so far, which is pretty cool because it's kind of Behringer and it's a bit plasticky and flimsy. And
a little bit dodgy-esque, but it's all right.
It's made of plastic and good intentions.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's but it's got some cool sounds.
It does. It did. I was surprised, actually. After doing that, like fortnight ago or whenever that was, or maybe more than that, I actually started looking for the Boss equivalent of it because I thought, maybe I should get that. Just for, see, it works more than three times of, when you step on it three times, it falls apart, the Behringer. So I even contacted Tim at Mojo Stomp. And I said, do you have a...
it's Harmonist, isn't it?
Sorry?
The Blue Harmonist?
Yeah, it's the...
That's the one you want.
Pitch Shifter. No, not the Harmonist, no. It's called the Pitch...
Oh, they're different.
Pitch Shifter, PS. But as a harmonizer. And then now they made a... Now there's... It's like a Pitch Shifter Harmonizer in one. But it used to be like a Pitch Shifter Delay.
Oh, right, okay.
And then it was just a Pitch Shifter... Anyway, but I asked him, but it was too new, the one that I wanted. He was mostly dealing in the older ones. But it was pretty cool. There's some happy noises going on. What was the other ones we did? We did that. We did the JHS...
Superbolt. That's fantastic.
Which is great. And what was the other one we did?
The Mantic Proverb.
The Proverb. That's the one. That's really cool. And we use that even today. That's a really nice sounding reverb.
I like it.
Are you taking all the Velcro off?
Yeah.
How are you going to attach it?
Well, I was just going to re-Velcro it.
Why?
Well, I guess I could leave it on.
You're crazy, man. He's taking the Velcro off something that's perfectly good Velcro. And he took all my labels of it, which now you can. Now you don't have to follow the exact rule of my labeling.
That's the point. I'm playing with a switch at time of talking. Quartermaster 6.
Yes. Which you're going to be putting on your new studio board, which
finally,
which I'm sitting next to here, Which someone kind of left a comment saying, oh, studio board, you have a studio board. Well, now I'm not, never going to listen to you guys again. Well, is it such a bad thing to have a studio board? If you own a studio and you have a studio that is your studio and you want to have a board that just lives in your studio that you don't take out to gigs when you do gigs, but you just have it in your studio, in your house, is that such a bad thing?
It's not like going to, you know, going to end world hunger or like stop slavery by not having a studio board.
Oh, it will do that.
Oh, yeah. Because it's awesome.
Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, it's just a board to leave at home.
Basically set up all the time, so I have to find patch cables and power supplies and blah, blah, blah.
In his own studio.
Yeah. But
where he records stuff.
Yeah, I do actually quite a bit. It's a practical thing. It's not just a wankery.
It's not a la-di-da, I'm so good I have a studio board.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's looking good. And you and...
A friend of ours, Dwight.
Dwight, conceived it.
Man conceived.
Man conceived.
So basically we got inspired by... He's a guitarist. And he does timber work on the side. I'm not sure if I mentioned this before.
Yes, Timber Love. I think we did mention that before.
Yeah, yeah. He builds furniture and stuff like that. And we built some pedal boards. And there's kind of got started by Salvage Custom, which unfortunately I think are out of business in now.
Yes.
But they started that whole really cool looking timber pedalboard thing.
Possibly started it. I don't know. God knows. Someone else who started it, and then we. So if someone else did,
they're the ones that I got.
It's all right.
Cottoned onto originally when they first started, like putting timber boards into retro suitcases.
Yeah, they look cool.
Very cool. Not very sturdy, but very cool. And so I've always wanted to do that, and then just never got around to it. And then he has a good wood shop.
Good wood.
Shop. So we're building out of camphor laurel, which is a tree in Australia. If you're not here, I think it might be, I'm not sure, but I think it might be from Southeast Asia somewhere, this tree, but it's actually considered a weed in Australia because it's an introduced species. So it's great looking timber. It's easy to work with. It's pretty easy to get because it's a weed, and they want to get rid of it anyway, especially through like national parks and that kind of area. And it's also used for cutting boards because it has the oils in the timber have like an antiseptic, antibacterial properties.
So that's probably the kind of stuff you find in hippie communes.
Or just in cutting boards.
No, you know, they grow them because they're weeds.
Yeah. That's pretty bad.
Yeah.
And also the timber smells really nice.
I can smell it actually sitting here. If you put your smell-o-vision glasses on while you're listening to the smell-o-vision, you're not looking at anything.
And glasses, eh? How often do you smell through your eyes?
All the time. It's a little known fact. If you put your smell-o-vision, I don't know, whatever on. But it looks good. It looks cool.
It's come along nicely.
So what else is... because we didn't really talk about it last time, but so the pedals, the ones we've done today.
Yep.
Mesmer. What are your thoughts on the Mesmer?
The
Keeley Mesmer.
It's very cool. I think it'd be a really good production tool.
Yes.
As in, might be a bit mental for most live gigs.
No.
Unless you're actually like one of those players that like drives the pedals as an instrument.
Yes.
Yes.
I like it. It's going on my live board, so it's...
Yeah, cool.
I'm going to use it.
You've got lots of mental stuff on your life.
I do like that sort of stuff, yeah. I don't like playing music. I don't like playing notes and stuff.
It's like getting paid for showing up.
It's boring, man. Yeah. I don't know how to play guitar. I just sit there and fiddle with knobs.
Just take the money and show up and hang out for a while. That's a motorbike. It's motorbike next door. It's cool. I think we were just talking before, it'd be cool to do like a shootout with all the
quirky delays.
Super crazy delays at the moment.
So we need to get a hold of the
Catlin Bro ones.
Discman.
Yep.
And the bicycle delay.
I'm sure there's some others too.
Oh, I'm sure there's others. The quirky delays.
Probably Death Boy Audio have got some.
Most likely.
Most likely.
wouldn't put it past him. And Earthquake devices probably too.
Yeah.
Some weird delays with pitch stuff.
We'll have to look into that. That could be our...
The one we did for Mojo Stomp boxes. The delay that...
The modulated...
Modulated delay thing.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a weird one.
Was that Maxon?
That was an old Maxon, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
That had like the... It sped up and slowed down and stuff.
I guess the Chase Bliss audio one could be...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've got that, yeah.
Into that world, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, we might... You never know. Stay tuned for that. You might... There might be a weird pedal shootout.
We could just do a series of... ten crazy, weird delays.
That sounds like a plan. So if that's something you would like to hear, why not leave a comment or let us know? There are... You know, there are quite a few people listening to this podcast from what I gather.
Yeah.
But someone, write a message somewhere. Go to our Facebook page, just send us a message saying, yep, I listen to the podcast. I'm in wherever you are in the world.
Finland. South America.
Well, we've got... Well, but that's the thing. iTunes doesn't give you any... statistics, yeah. But on
if you're in Utah, say hi.
Utah, that's one of the higher listened to places. Well, it's a place.
Just
well,
start that sentence again.
Let's start that again. On Podbean,
yeah,
it gives you statistics of where people are when they listen to your podcast on Podbean, not on iTunes.
Okay.
Vast majority of people listen to our podcast on iTunes or on another platform.
Sure.
But Podbean is a relatively small percentage. But Utah is one of the top places in America where people listen to our podcast, actually.
Oh, wow.
Utah, New York, California, Washington.
I just chose that state out of random.
But it actually is one of the top listened to states. And then England, there's quite a few people in England.
There is.
Hello, yes. Governors.
There is quite a few people in England.
There's a few, but I mean, they listen to our podcast.
Oh, right, yeah.
Hello, Governors.
Even better.
Then there's Japan and South Africa and South Africa and I'm doing all my bad accents, but hello to everyone out there.
Foreign accent.
If you have, just leave a comment.
Come say hi.
Just saying hi, or, and, you know.
Even better, take a photo of your pedal board and put it on a Facebook page.
That's the one.
And then it's kind of cool to see what people, because I had this conversation with someone recently how. Doesn't matter what someone has on their pedal board, it's always slightly more interesting than your own.
Of course it is.
So even if it's full of like eight, like Boss pedals from the 90s, it's like, oh, you've got a Boost driver. Oh, cool.
Or you know what would be interesting?
Yeah.
If you're listening to this podcast, wherever you are right now listening to this podcast, just take a photo of what you're looking at, what's right in front of you. Take a photo of that and post it on our Facebook page.
That'd be cool.
Just so we know what people, like, you know, what do you guys do while you listen to this?
So if you're driving, just pull out your phone, put your beer down, pull out your phone.
Put your beer down. Put your beer down.
Yeah.
Stop breastfeeding your child.
Yeah.
And no, but just, I mean, if you're in a situation where you can take a photo without any issues of crashing and stuff like that.
Are you implying there's lactating men out there?
Possibly. No, but, well, you know, it happened in Junior.
Mm. That was a weird documentary.
If Arnie can do it, anyone can do it. No, but if you're in a situation where you can take a photo of just whatever it is you're looking at, it does not matter if you're sitting in a train, in a bus, if you're somewhere, if you're just at home,
mm-hmm.
just take a photo of what it is you're looking at currently and post it on our Facebook page.
That'd be interesting.
Links are below. It's just Facebook, www.facebook.com/... Is it just / Super Fun Awesome Happy Time Pedal Show?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah. Or just search for Super Fun Awesome. By the time you get to that, it'll find us. Super Fun Awesome. Just look for that and just post it on our page. It's just really interesting to see. And just write, hi, I'm in, I don't know,
Utah.
Well, there you go. It'd just be really interesting to see where you guys are from.
Yeah.
We promise we won't hassle you or anything. We'll just...
Yeah.
And if you... Okay, and let's just say it this way. If you guys do it, we'll mention your names on the next podcast.
Hey, that's a cool
idea. We'll thank you all.
Yeah.
You know, and just see how you go. And then maybe if we start doing some... I've been thinking about doing some merchandising stuff, like T-shirts and pics and stuff like that.
Underwear.
Especially underwear. Mm. Feminine hygiene products. No, maybe not.
I was going to say prophylactics, but you might not get Superfund Awesome Heavy Metal written on there.
Very small writing.
Could go around.
Okay, yeah, could.
Well, Steve Martin said, thinking of moving up to prophylactics, because up until now I've been using amateur phylactics.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, so speaking of, well, the merchandising thing, if you take a picture, if you leave it, or if you write a comment, or take a picture and leave it on a Facebook page or anything like that, if you do any kind of contact with us, you will be the first to know we'll mention you on the next podcast, and you'll be the first to know about any merchandising that might happen in the future. So, yes, it may be another couple of years, but it may happen eventually. So, since the last podcast, which was not that long ago, which we did with Peter Coppers.
Yes, that was this week.
That was... What have you been up to, Alex? Yeah, that was Monday, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Friday today. Yeah. So we did the podcast with Peter on Monday. It's Friday today. We did videos. I've got to go to a gig pretty soon, so I've got to cut this relatively short. But
I've just been mixing, finishing off an album for a guy, and I found my thing now is, like, when you think a song's almost done, where it's like 99% there, you just put some weird delay guitar across the top of it, and it makes it finished.
That was air quotes there, folks.
No, it's more like spirit fingers.
Oh, okay. okay.
Basically, I just get the I got a Pigtronic Secolution something
delay. Ultra Pro. Not just Pro.
Ultra Pro, mate.
It's the next level.
And you spin the dial and find a random preset and some filtery, steppy type octave delay thing and just do ambient crap.
So, I mean, good stuff.
Yep, ambient good stuff crap.
The old ambient good stuff crap.
So that's my new trick now on things. On
track. So if you have a song that you're not quite sure how to finish it, do some ambient good stuff crap.
Yes. Tip of the day. Basically, it's just kind of ambient swell, especially if there's like a shimmer octave type thing. Just kind of makes it sound fresh and pop and slightly modern.
Excellent.
Because this album I'm working on is kind of rootsy singer-songwriter, lots of acoustic guitar.
Okay. So
without sounding too folky, it kind of brings it forward.
What about some mesmer stuff?
That'd be cool.
Who doesn't need that on there?
Yeah. It's rad. And I've got a new pedal coming. I've got two new pedals coming. I do. I have the Serotone Klon, which is on its way somewhere between Malaysia and my house at the moment. And if you don't know about them, Klon, they've actually recreated the whole thing.
The whole same...
Even
enclosure and all that stuff.
Did a cast of the enclosure and the whole bit. I'm sure.
Take that, Klon people.
That'll piss off some purists. Keen to hear that one. Because I know on their Facebook group they put a lot of time into really kind of nailing the circuit.
Oh. Yeah, it took a
bunch of prototypes.
He went through it quite a while, and even the enclosures, he went through quite a lot of them.
Yeah.
And he didn't like some of them, and
so that's kind of cool.
Well, yeah, that'll be interesting.
And the other one that's actually here, but the post office is closed today because of a public holiday.
It's a public stinking holiday.
Is a slicer.
Boss slicer.
Boss slicer.
Lovely.
So I'm kind of keen to check that out.
Well, next week, because it's a Friday, so not till Monday.
And I'm doing something Monday, so it's probably Tuesday.
Oh, boo, his boo.
Yeah. Lame. What else is good? I've been playing with the JHS colour box a little bit.
Okay.
Ran some a drum track through it.
Okay. Yeah. Sounded good?
Yeah, it's cool. Okay. It's super crunchy. Like.
We need to do a demo of it.
Yeah.
Maybe we should do, when we do a demo of it, we should do a demo of it, how you use it in the studio situation too.
Sure. It's on, I'm borrowing it, but my mate who borrowed it off has gone to the States for 3 months. So.
Okay. So he's borrowing it for a long time.
Yeah.
Maybe he forgets about it when he gets possibly. Back. Does he have one of your pedals?
No.
Oh, well, there you go. Okay. What colour box?
Colour what?
I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, no, we should do a demo of it and do it as a, like,
yeah.
Do, like, guitar running through and stuff, but then also do...
Bass and
drums and tracks. Vocals and mandolin.
The other cool thing I've been doing with recording is using the Strum & Deco as a, basically as a direct box. So, okay. Yeah, just electric guitar into that. Has to be stereo out, though, to get the cool sort of stereo delay phasey thing.
Well, it is like a console thing, isn't it? It's meant to be like a console.
Like a tape machine, yeah.
Tape machine, oh, yeah. But isn't it like the drive section in it, like the drive section of a console?
Of a tape machine.
Or a tape machine as well, okay.
So a lot of those tape machines, you can hit the preamps really hard.
Oh, yeah.
And you overdrive. So that's, yeah. It's, and it's an overdrive that doesn't sound like anything else. It doesn't sound like an amp or a...
Sounds like a tape machine.
Yeah. A preamp.
Cool. That's good. Yeah.
So that's fun.
That's cool.
And that probably brings me up to date.
Well, what have I done since? Nothing. Not nothing. Just lots of stuff, but nothing interesting. Just gigging, lots of gigs, teaching, because I teach guitar in Noosa and on the Sunshine Coast, and running after my kids and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, just the days just seem to fly and I don't seem to be getting anything done. Well, I got the freak out or whatever you want to call it, Digitech, that came yesterday, and then I got the Mesmer, that came a few days ago, and then a couple of weeks ago, I think now, I got the Maris Autobit Junior, which we haven't done a demo of yet, but I think that's one of those pedals I need to spend a bit more time with, and I haven't really had much time to spend time with it, because I've been... doing my own recording, and I've been doing teaching and kids and gigs and you know, like four gigs a week lately, roughly. So
life stuff
and then you know you've got to spend time with your family too on weekends and so yeah, not much time and rehearsing up some songs for another band, and it's just been a lot of work. But we did last podcast with Pete, Peter Coppers, which was quite fun, out of the church.
He's
very chatty guy. And we went straight after the podcast, we walked down the street to his tech's house. His guitar tech lives just down the street.
Like 200 metres?
Yeah, if that. And we had a quick look at some of the... because he had all his gear there.
Yep.
Because they were building a new pedal board... the day after we did, so on Tuesday, this past Tuesday, for an upcoming tour of America, which if you're in the States and you know, the church is playing somewhere nearby, go and see them.
Yeah, very cool.
And go and hassle Peter, guitar player stage left, I mean stage right, but audience left.
Yeah.
Go and hassle him and tell him that we told you to go and hassle him. Yeah, so that was fun. That was really nice talking to him, and you know, he's been around the traps for a while, and he's done a lot. So you know, he's pretty interesting. But yeah, other than that, I haven't really done much. I haven't really had a chance to do much.
Mm-hmm.
Life stuff.
Very cool.
And the odd new gear here and there and stuff like that. But that's about it.
It's getting dangerously close to almost slightly coming into Nam Town. Nam time.
Summer Nam, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a very vague sort of... It's almost slightly getting to the time where it's maybe kind of sort of roughly, remotely, possibly.
Well, it's not quite time yet, but it's...
It's getting there.
It's getting...
Soon.
It's July, isn't it?
July, August?
July.
July.
So probably about a month away.
Month and a bit. Considering it's June.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, next month, yeah.
Yeah, this year July comes after June.
That's after June, yeah. Damn smarch.
Nasty smarch weather.
Whenever that smarch weather, you know.
Typical.
Well, it'll be interesting to see if there's much new, because summer name quite often there's not a whole lot of very interesting stuff coming out. But, and I mean, Boss released a bunch of new stuff pre that. Although there's actually
the new Looper, the three.
Is it, what is it? It's like, what's the day today? Is it? I think on the 16th. Is it the 16th?
Yeah, 16th today.
I think today they're doing the next big round of announcements.
Oh, really?
Because they're doing the whole month. They're doing every couple of weeks. They're doing new announcements.
Oh, because actually, that's kind of cool. The Roland did those announced those percussion pads.
You know, yeah.
Kind of like tappy things you can hear.
Single percussion pads. Yeah.
Yeah. They actually look kind of cool.
Well, one of them I'm actually thinking could be quite interesting. One of them where you can load your own samples onto it.
Oh yeah.
Yep. And you can have, I don't know how many samples on it, and I think that could be kind of cool.
It'd be cool for playing tracks with the band, like if you're...
Yeah, and...
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Because it's got a separate click track out.
Yeah.
So the drummer can just plug his headphones straight into there and have a separate click track out. Hang on, I'm just trying to find... I've got it on here somewhere, when the next Boss thing happens.
Oh, and speaking of new things...
Yes.
TC Electronics have a... well, they've got the new... Hall of Fame too.
Oh, 20th of June, sorry.
Okay, sure.
The next announcement is the 20th of June, and it'll be two synthesizer products.
Ooh.
Lame. Okay, 20th of June will be two synthesizer products, but then 23rd of June will be 1, 2, 3, 4 guitar products.
Ooh, 4 guitar products.
Mm. I wonder what it'll be.
TC, you've got the new reverb.
Tremolo. New reverb and a tremolo.
Yes, and the tremolo. Which is called the... Something to do with surf. What was it called? Not Wipeout, but something like that. Anyway. Yeah, so that's...
Cowabunga?
That's good.
Jesus. We're doing well.
Yeah.
Pipeline?
Pipeline.
Thank you. Is it Pipeline?
Yeah, I knew it had something to do with surf. Oh. Surf guitar. So, looks kind of cool, because I know they've had lots of requests to do
the tremolo.
The trem for ages, so I might try and get my hands on that.
Yeah. Well, again, if you want us to get our hands on it, leave us a comment. Let us know.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, the Boss, going back to Boss, that Looper multi-effects Looper thingy, what is it, MS3? Is that what it's called? I think it's MS3.
Something like 3, is it? Not ES3?
No, no, because it's not a looper. It's a looper and
effects
on it. I think it's MS3.
Okay.
Possibly. I don't know. I get names wrong all the time, but it looks like a cool concept. So you've got onboard effects, but you have 3 loops.
Yeah.
And you can't split the loops up, as in you can't move them around in the chain. You can't split them up. Sure. But you can have your 3 pedals either in front of their effects or after their effects.
Gotcha. So you were thinking about possibly getting one for an acoustic board.
Well, I'm almost thinking that could be kind of cool for an acoustic rig, because then you can have all these extra effects on there that you may or may not use, but just for the hell of it.
That you might use a couple of times a year or something.
Yeah, but I mean, just for fun, just if you're really bored at a gig.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, I do probably... between 170 to 200 gigs a year, roughly, on average. Out of them, probably 140, 150, 160, depends on the year, are solo acoustic gigs.
Yes.
That's a lot of gigs.
It's a lot of stomping.
It's a lot of, you know, playing the same songs, you know.
Mm.
And instead of swapping pedals out... it'd be nice to have extra effects, and there's all these other effects built in. But then you have the 3 loops where you could have your own pedals. So, I mean, I need basically a looper.
Yes. Does the Boss thing have a looper in it?
No. So you'd have to I'd put my own looper in it, in a loop. Or probably in a loop, I'd say. I wouldn't mind.
You could have it after the fact.
Yeah, but then if you use delays and reverbs and stuff like that, they go on the loop. I prefer it if...
Yeah. So you could have that set up a sound with the effects on it and then
play it. Yeah, but I prefer like things like reverb, for example. I mean, I use mainly... I mean, yeah, possibly after. I use reverbs and stuff mainly on my PA anyway.
Sure.
But I prefer having it after the looper. So it's a kind of uniform sound for the loop what you play over it.
Okay.
And then delays I tend to have before it, though, because I tend to do... If I do loops quite often, I don't have delay on the loop, but then I have delay on what I play over the loop.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. But I'd probably put it in a loop. But the thing I was thinking of, it popped into my head, and I was kind of going, that would be kind of cool for my acoustic rig. But then I'm kind of going, but what would I put in the other two loops? Because, if you have delays and compressors and... I mean, compression I use on my mixer. Yeah. I like the compression on my PA better than pedal compression for acoustic guitar.
Yeah.
But, you know, what would you put in it?
Modulation-y things, maybe?
Yeah, but you have that all built in anyway.
Yeah.
But because I was thinking, because I use a Line 6 Echo Park.
Yes.
Because I like the sweep delay.
Mm.
You could kind of use that, but then you kind of have that Terra Echo on the...
Sure, yeah.
So you can use that for that.
That does modulate things.
But anyway, so I was sort of thinking that could possibly be a fun thing to have on an acoustic board.
Yeah.
Just to add extra things to it. Or, I guess, as a second smaller electric board, if you can't be bothered lugging too big of a pedal board around.
Totally. And
put whatever drives you want.
Totally, like one or two overdrives, maybe, I don't know.
A whammy.
That's probably enough.
Well, I wonder if there's a pitch bend thing on it and you can just plug on the boss and you can just plug an expression pedal in.
That could be cool.
I've got to find it out. But yeah, I'm thinking that's something that could be something interesting to get just for the sake of getting it.
Because your big board is pretty big at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, well, not as big as it could be, but there's lots of pedals. Like, there's a whole bunch of pedals I want to put on there that I haven't put on there for ages because I haven't had time to do it.
Mm.
There's like the Goo, the Turn Concepts Goo. Yeah. I really want that on there.
Yep.
The Otterbit will go on there. The Mesmer will go on there. The Freakout will go on there. So there's lots of stuff. But then I kind of want to keep everything that's already on there too.
If you could use the big board.
Could use a big board. Or we were talking about it last time. Do two boards.
Oh, yeah.
So you have your what did I call it last time? Your
like essentials.
Essentials board and your party board. That's
party
right.
Party board, yeah.
And loop it together. So if you wanna use a party board, you just loop it in.
I guess patch it in. You could do the two board way two ways. So you could either have a big / medium sized board plus a bunch of weird crap that you have your party board.
Weird crap.
I mean, inspirational tools.
Inspirational tools, yes.
So you could either do like that big board with the other, like a little sidecar thing.
Yeah.
Or you could have...
two big boards.
Two medium boards, like split it up.
So yeah.
We could have a big board and then just a real little one just for like, I really don't care about this gig or it's upstairs or something.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm thinking.
Something with, like, put it on the backpack or...
Yeah, well, that's what I'm sort of thinking. Maybe that could be the other option with that MS3.
Because that could be more flexible if you have, like, a really big board and then just, like, a little one.
Yeah.
That you can have, literally, throw it over your shoulder in a gig bag. Especially if gigs are upstairs or it's, you know... You can't be bothered. It's pissing down rain or something and you're, like, don't lug through the rain.
Big stupid thing around.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's a possibility. That's something... I kind of like the idea of that. I like the idea of that MS3.
Hmm.
But I might wait and see what else they bring out.
Yeah, sure.
Because I'm still kind of hoping they're going to bring a bigger version of the ES8 out.
Ooh, like an ES9.
Eight's not enough. No,
more is always better.
10 or 12 or something like that.
Yeah.
And I'm actually kind of thinking, wouldn't it be cool if they bring out something kind of like the ES3?
Yes.
But in an ES8. MS3, but in an ES8. An MS8. Ah. So have like built-in effects, but then also have like, you can have all your loops.
Full programmable loop land.
Yeah. That'd be kind of cool. That'd be wild, but kind of cool.
Yeah. Get it. Every sound imaginable.
Yes. No, I'm just thinking that, like, seeing what happens. I mean, I always like silly stuff, so.
Interesting.
Cool. How are we going for time? 35 minutes. Because, on a different note,
yes.
What I wanted to quickly bring up, because I had some people ask that question, and I've heard that on our channel, but also I've seen it in other forums and groups like that.
Yeah.
Always on pedals.
Oh, yeah.
So there's some people that say, or that asked, and kind of went, why do you need an always-on pedal?
Mm.
Why don't you just get your amp to sound like the always-on pedal?
Yes.
And then go from there. What do you need an always-on pedal for? Now, what is your take on an always-on pedal, Alex?
The way I used to use, I guess I still do, with my live board, I have an always-on drive. And it's because the way I've set up my gigging board is that it's designed to work around a Fender Hot Rod Deluxe, which I have one of, but it's also the backline amp for a lot of gigs and festivals.
Yes.
And venues. So that's kind of it means that pretty much it's going to sound the same, unless it's been trashed or something. It's going to sound the same at pretty much every gig.
Yes.
And the way I use it always on pedal is to get, like, because Fender Hot Rod Deluxe drives sound like, like a gentleman sausage. So,
okie dokie.
So I just use it as a clean platform. And the way I get have used always on pedal is to get a little bit of that Marshall-esque, crunchy sort of edge of breakup thing.
Yes.
At any volume.
Yes. Well, that's what I'm getting at too, and that's the way I use it too, and I think that's what always on pedals are for. So if you are, this is my opinion now, right?
Yep.
Let the rant begin. No, not, but it's, look, I mean, that's kind of like you using it. That's the way I'm kind of using it too.
Okay, cool.
It's basically, the idea is, as far as I'm concerned, the way I look at it with an always on pedal, unless you're playing in a big touring band. But I'm talking like big touring bands.
With techs and stuff.
With techs and stuff.
Yep.
Where you're playing huge stages. But even then, if you crank amps, usually the techs, front of house guys, fallback guys, no one is happy. Your bandmates usually aren't happy either.
Yeah.
And especially if you are, even if you're in a touring band, but you play small clubs, smaller venues.
Yeah.
Or if you are someone who plays gigs at, you know, bars and stuff on weekends, like what the majority of our income is.
Yeah.
You have noise restrictions. Now, it'd be fantastic if I could take my, for example, my 60 watts Hot Rod DeVille 4x10 Fender, which I really love. I love that amp. It's a great amp.
Yeah.
I'd love to be able to take that to a gig and crank it so it breaks up. Yes. So it has that on the edge of breakup sound. But if I do that, the venue I'm playing at will be officially shut down and turn into something different to the venue.
Turn into a retirement home.
Turn into a retirement home. Yeah. No, because you can't. It's just, unless you're playing. I mean, that's the thing. It's easy to say that a lot of times. Oh, you know, why don't you just turn your amp up? You can't. You're dealing with noise restrictions. You're dealing around here, particularly in Australia.
Yeah.
And particularly in Queensland here in Australia, you have some very silly noise restrictions that are silly, but at the same time, when you're playing at a venue, you are sort of, you have to go by the rules of the venue.
Yeah.
And you don't want the venue to get in trouble, because then next time you're here, they're not going to invite you back.
Yeah.
So you've got to keep, you have to play the
game a bit.
Like, I mean,
it's a crappy game, but you have to.
That's what I mean. If you are, you know, Jimmy Page, or, you know, or if you're Jimi Hendrix coming back from the dead, or Stevie Ray Vaughan, and you bring your Dumble amp and you crank it, and everyone's going to go, yay, that's great, fantastic, we love you for it. And then you have that lovely ringing in your ears for 3 days, and it's great. But unless you're one of those guys, you can't really do that.
Yeah.
You have to sort of play the game. So what happens is you take either smaller wattage amps that you can then crank, but even the smaller wattage amps, quite often you can't crank, because you can't it just doesn't work, right? So the idea with always-on pedals, or the way I look at it, is you have an amp, you set it to clean, to a volume that's pleasing to the people around you. Also, I mean, you've got to look after your own hearing too. It's, yeah, you know, you don't want to blast, you know, 120 dB into your ear by cranking an amp. So you set it so it's at a good volume where the venue is happy with it. The guys in the band can all hear themselves. Everyone is happy with it. But then quite often your amp will be sounding quite dull and lifeless. And this is where you then bring in an always-on pedal. Like for me, my always-on pedal is a Box of Rock.
Yep.
I talk about it all the time. I love that thing. I think it's fantastic. I turn the drive section and the boost section on, set it so it's not really boosting the volume or anything. It's just giving that slight breakup.
Yeah.
So, and I use it. It basically comes pretty much last in my chain. So that's like my amp. Right? Sure. So then when all the pedals hit it like they're hitting an amp, basically.
Yeah, cool.
The other thing that I was getting at, and I know I'm talking a lot, but I mean, it's a podcast. It's all about talking, isn't it? if you use smaller wattage amps, what quite often happens is if you do crank the smaller wattage amps, the way your drives interact with the amp will now change.
Yes.
And the way boosts will interact with the amp will change. So, for example, I just did not long ago, a guitar student of mine, is a younger guy, and he is looking at buying his first valve amp and was looking at a Fender Blues Junior.
Yep, cool.
Which has a master volume on it.
Yeah.
And I said to him, so, for example, a really handy thing to get if you have a valve amp, especially a smaller wattage valve amp, and especially with a master volume, is a boost, just a clean boost. And I basically showed him. So if you turn a master volume up a bit and you keep your volume or your gain, so your pre and post,
yep.
You keep your pre down so it's a clean sound and you use your master volume, and you hit a boost, what will happen is the volume will go up.
Yes.
But as soon as you now, you turn your gain up and it gets to a breakup kind of level, and so you turn your master down a bit more, you know, just to keep it even. Now, so if you have an amp that's slightly broken up, you hit it with a boost, all of a sudden the volume won't go up, you just get more gain.
Yes.
And that's the thing. You use a smaller wattage amp on stage and you crank it, your drives will interact with it completely differently. Totally. Than if you have a higher wattage amp where you have headroom and you have it clean, set quieter and clean. And you use, for example, an always-on pedal, right? And you then also have the option of turning the always-on pedal off, which would then give you, all your drives will sound completely different again.
Yep, totally. It's kind of, you can do it either way. Like, obviously there's no right and wrong.
No.
But that's why you do it with an always-on pedal, because you probably have an amp with the headroom that can take it.
Yes.
So... it should be cool that, and that's the other thing, like, most people probably only have one amp.
Yes.
You don't have the luxury of having a small wattage amp and a bigger
so you have the combination
box
of things.
Or something.
Yeah.
And a little, you know, champ or something where you can smash a front end and it just breaks up.
Yeah.
And you can still, like, not get deaf.
No, well, that's it.
And probably the kind of Fender Hot Roddy things, maybe an AC-15 is probably, like, generally most popular valve amps around.
Right? Probably, yeah.
So
I think the Fender Hot Rod that probably outsold the entire rest of the Fender amp thing. Even though it's not a fantastic amp, but
they have a lot of clean headroom.
That's why
you kind of, unless really crank it and get lots of volume, you're not going to get to that edge of breakup thing.
And I mean, I have run, and it sounds fantastic. I've played on some big stages where you can crank it because you're outdoors, especially outdoors, you can crank it. And like I said, I really like my Fender Hot Rod DeVille, which is a 4x10 and it's 60 watts.
Yep.
And if you crank it and you get it to that point where it sort of breaks up, it sounds fantastic. I love it.
Yeah.
But if you're indoors, just outdoors to indoors, it just wouldn't work because it's just ridiculously loud. to get it working, it's ridiculously loud. But
the other way, if you only had like a little champ, like a single 8 or a single 10 and 5 watts or 3 watts an amp, you couldn't do the bigger stage because it would just clap out.
Yeah. Unless you mic it up and have a line in your monitors.
Which is never the same anyway.
No.
So I guess the answer is buy more gear.
Buy more gear. No, but I mean,
buy more amps.
Again, there is no right or wrong.
Yeah.
But it's just have been asking why people use always on pedals. Yeah, that's why we use always on pedals, because it basically gives you the option of having the amp you like, which in a studio situation you can crank.
Yep.
In a big outdoor festival situation you can crank. But at the same time, when you go to a smaller venue, you can't crank. And then the always-on pedal basically takes over from the cranking.
Mm.
That's the way I see it anyway.
And it also means you can have your same gain structure and same tones at any volume. You just go to the amp and turn it up or down.
Well, and there's guys like Andy Timmons. I watched a thing. He used to use his Mesa Lone Stars.
Yeah.
And he used to use the drive channel, and his clean was just rolling the volume back.
Sure.
And it sounded great, actually.
Yeah.
But since he got that JHS AT pedal, he actually uses the clean channel on the Lone Stars and has that on basically always. So that's his always-on pedal, his signature JHS pedal.
Yeah.
And that's his, with the volume all the way up, that's his drive.
Cool.
And then he turns his volume down, and it cleans up really, really well. And I mean, he's an insanely good player, but
that helps too. Yeah.
That helps on top of it. But so you know, that's another use of always on, where you have look. I use my always on is a the sound of a cranked clean amp.
Sure.
His always on is the sound of a fully distorted amp.
Yep.
So there's different ways of doing it, and there's no right, there's no wrong.
Mm.
It's just that's just the way it works.
Yeah. True.
Yeah, and I just wanted to bring it up, just talk about that, because I think
it is interesting.
Getting
gain structure is quite important, especially when it comes to boosts and stacking pedals.
It is pedals. Stacking pedals. It's stacking gain is what I do a lot of.
Yeah,
and I think it's really, really good. And I think a lot of people just don't have the experience with that sort of stuff. They don't quite know the difference between I'm playing in a band and I'm going to turn up as loud as I can because that's what you do in a band. But if you actually make a living out of being a musician, you have to be flexible enough to be able to do anything. You know, there's gigs I've done where venues want a band and they've got like a, I don't know, 90 dB level, you know, maximum level.
Mm.
And not just that it's a 90 dB maximum level, but you have to plug into their thing. And if you go above it, it actually your power gets cut, which if you use valve amps or any kind of electronic stuff, really, it's not that good to have the power go all of a sudden. So, you know, I've played gigs where you can't have an amp on stage, which is where I started using more and more in-ears, and the drummer will use an electronic kit and... And of course, it's not the same, but in the end of the day, it's a job, and you've got to play, and you've got to make a living doing it. Or if that's your job, so you've got to be flexible, flexible enough to do that sort of stuff. So you've got to be able to go from anything from, you know, talking level volume to stadium level, crank the hell out of it, and everything in between.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's, I just wanted to talk about that today. How are we going for time?
That's good.
50 minutes.
Well, if they duck off to your gig soon.
Yeah, I've got to go to my gig. What time is it?
Today?
Yeah, I probably better go. So we'll cut it a little short. It's almost not quite an hour, but...
Pretty nice.
We made up for it with Peter. That was an hour and 20, so...
He likes to chat.
So, yeah, so once again, if you're listening to this... and you are able to take a photo of what you're seeing right now.
Right now.
Take a photo of it, post it on the Facebook page. There's a link below us or below wherever you're looking. Oh, why do I keep saying looking? Wherever you're listening to this, there should be a link to our Facebook page. or just go to Facebook and just type in super fun, awesome, one word.
Yes.
Or even super fun, it'll probably come up.
Santa Finest.
And yeah, post it and let us know where you're listening from, where you are. And if you're watching our YouTube channel as well, let us know. And yeah, well, if you do, we'll next time we'll talk about you.
Have a shout out.
We'll have a shout. We'll look at live. Well, while we're doing this, we'll go to your Facebook page and we'll look at it and we'll critique your photos.
Yes.
And critique the stuff you've done.
Stalk people.
Yes. So, no. But, yeah, let us know and make sure to subscribe to the podcast. Yes. And the YouTube channel and like our Facebook page. And I always put links to our Instagram stuff up too. So if you like, you know, if you're on Instagram, go and like us. We always post pictures of stuff.
Very good. Okay.
And that's about it.
Sounds very good. Hope you enjoy the rest of your day. See you next time.
There's a thumbs up. See you next time.
Bye. See ya.